All right, Erev Tov, everybody. Welcome. Pleasure to welcome you to Promotions Weekly, Parshat HaShavu Shir. And it's a pleasure to welcome back Rabbi Nadi Helfgott, no stranger to Torah Notion. And it's nice to have him back. Rabbi Helfgott is the rabbi of Congregation Netivat Shalom in Teaneck. We'll do a short intro. And serves as the chair of the Department of Torah Shavuot at SAR High School in Riverdale. He's an accomplished author and really a big... teaches a lot of Torah. He disseminates much Torah. He's written in many areas in Tanakh and Halakha, and it's one of the leading teachers in the modern Orthodox world. So nice to have you back. And it's want to thank our sponsors this evening, the Almonds, who once again are sponsoring the Shir tonight, in memory of Sharon and Rafal, in memory of Rafal's mother, Edith Alman. Esther Bat Rafal's Yortzeit is coming up on Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph, and also in memory of his Rafal's uncle, George Alman Moshe Ben Sadok. So Yortzeit also coming up next week. May the Neshamot have an Aliyot, and may we be blessed with good health and long life, and have occasions to come together for happy occasions. Okay, thank you very much. Rav Nadi, Vakasha.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Thank you to the Almonds, who are old friends, and it should be an Eloi Neshama, the learning that we do. I want to also thank my good friend Jay Kelman, Rabbi Jay Kelman, and Torah in Motion. I always say it's one of the most special organizations disseminating Torah without across the board and no fear, and doing what they think is correct and right, and real bastion of Torah and ideas and thinking and not being afraid. So this evening I wanted to learn a little bit about the structure and purpose of Parshat Mishpatim, which at first blush seems to be a very a dry parasha for some people. For the first time, we get into the a lot of nitty gritty of the laws of the Torah. And in Europe, in some towns, I don't know if it still happens today in some shuls, but in some towns, on Parshat Mishpatim, they would have a kiddush in honor of the Chevra Shas, meaning like today we have a Daf Yomi, people get together. So there was a group of people who would learn either nightly or weekly. They call them the Chevra Shas. And the Chevra Shas in different communities, they would celebrate on Parshas Mishpatim, which made a lot of sense because Parshat Mishpatim has a tremendous amount of laws. And many of the laws, create on the basis of these laws, we have entire masechtot, entire tractates in the Talmud, Baba Kama. The tractate Baba Kama, which deals with Nezek, which deals with damages, is based on a couple of psukim in Parshat Mishpatim. The laws in Bava Metzia of Shomrim, the laws of what they call the Bailey. It's a very funny word, but that's what I guess they call it in English. The laws of stealing, and the laws, all these laws, are derived from the drashot that emerge from Parshat Mishpatim. And therefore, sometimes people decide, instead of actually doing a Parsha Shir, they give a Gemara Shir on Parshat Mishpatim. But I'm not going to do that. I want to focus on the Tanakh aspect and talk a little bit about the structure and the place of Parshat Mishpatim. And, again, depending on how much time, what we cover, I want to talk a little bit about what is emerging from the Bible. Now, let's first situate Parshat Mishpatim in the as they say in Hebrew, the Retzef, in the continuity of the chapters that we have been studying. So on one level, one notes that Parshat Mishpatim is a kind of coda, and certainly the end of Parshat Mishpatim is a coda to what we've seen, to the entire narrative that began in chapter 18-19, specifically chapter 19 of the book of Exodus. I often mention to people that if you think about the book of Exodus, if I had to give it a motto, the motto that I would give it is the verse that the words that Moshe said to Pharaoh when he confronted Pharaoh the first time, and he said, "Shalach et ami v'yavduni b'midbar," let my people go, that they should worship me in the and they should worship me in the desert. And if you divide the book of Exodus, basically chapter 1 through 17 can be connected to that, the first half of that verse. The first half of Sefer Bamidbar, from chapter 1 through 17, the enslavement of the Jewish people, the choosing of Moshe, the selection of Moshe, the Makot, the plagues, all those things, the actual bringing of the Korban Pesach, of the Paschal sacrifice, the killing of the firstborn, the fact that the Jews leave Egypt, the Israelites leave Egypt, the crossing of the sea, that all takes place up until chapter 17. From chapter 18, 19, 20 on, it's the V'yavduni Bamidbar, and they shall worship me in the desert. First, we have the story of Matan Torah, the story of the giving of the Torah, the text of the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 statements, followed by some of the details that emerge from the 10 statements, which is what we call Parshat Mishpatim, followed by a covenant ceremony at the end of Parshat Mishpatim. So, and then, of course, from Parshat Mishpatim, we go into Parshat Truma, the building of the Mishkan, which is trying to create a symbolic home for God and God's presence, not just on Sinai, but going with the people. The Asuli Mikdash, the Shachanti B'Tocham. The continuity of Sinai, the portable Sinai, which is the tabernacle. So the first half of the book is Shalach et Ami, and all of the ramifications of that. And the second half of the book is V'yavduni Bamidbar. And therefore, what we're doing here the last few weeks is we're really getting into the V'yavduni Bamidbar and serve me to serve God on the mountain and serve God in the desert and eventually serve God throughout the life and the history of the Jewish people. And I wanted to note that if one looks carefully, one can see a little bit of a kind of structure. And this has been noted by a number of writers when we come to the book of Mishpatim. And I want to note, so to speak, two structures and then go into some more detail. Number one, and here I'm going to, again, I recommend that everyone has a Tanakh in front of them, has a Bible in front of them. I'm also going to share my screen and put this, my screen, which has hopefully the text. Oh, no, the wrong thing. Stop share. So let me try to get that again. My Exodus. And now we can share my screen. And that will also. I'm just using the Machon Mamre, which is kind of open access, which uses the 1917 translation. So this is the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim, Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem. The end of Parshat Mishpatim, Parshat Mishpatim is chapter 21, 22, 23, 24. If you look at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, we'll notice a covenant ceremony. God said to Moses told, God said to Moses, go up, you and Aaron and Nadav and Avihu, and Moses alone will go up. And Moses writes down, and they have this whole ceremony. And Moses takes the book of the covenant, he reads it, and the Jewish people say, Na'aseh v'nishma. The Jewish people did not say Na'aseh v'nishma in chapter 19, when they first approached Sinai. it's only at the end of the story, according to the pshat, the simple reading of the text, where they say Na'aseh v'nishma. In chapter 19, which was last week's parsha, when they first came to Sinai, and God began, and God said to them, if you listen, v'atayim shamot tishmu b'koli, u'shmartem et briti, and you listen to my covenant and keep my covenant, and you will be my treasure, you will be mamlechet konim v'goy kadosh, ela hadvarim asher tedaber al b'nei Israel. He tells them, v'yanu kolam yachdav v'yomru, kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Everything that God says, we will do. So chapter 19 begins with, Na'aseh, with God presenting them that he is going to enter into covenant with them. Im shamot ishma b'koli, u'shmartem et briti, itam lizgula mikolami, and you will be a holy people. Memlechet konim v'goy kadosh. And the people said Na'aseh, but they don't yet have the nishma. But in chapter 21, 24, when we close the circle, when the last presentation, when Moses writes down the covenant, what he calls Sefer HaBrit, which we'll talk about what it is a little bit later, then the people say Na'aseh v'nishma. They close the circle. And they close that circle. And God appears once again on the mountain, just like he appeared before. So there was Na'aseh, and then there was Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And here there's Na'aseh v'nishma, and God comes down, and on the seventh day, he once again appears. So there's a kind of beginning and end. So there's a beginning of chapter 19 to 24. Brit, covenant, that is going to be introduced. Text of the covenant, chapter 20, 21, 22, 23. Covenant ceremony, which closes the circle. So we start in 19 and we end in 24. So on one level, you have this kind of closing of the circle. It begins with B'nai Israel, the Jewish people, saying, Na'aseh, we will do. And it closes with a repetition, but this time it's added, Na'aseh v'nishma. Which I know that we are very brought up. We are brought up with the rabbinic translation or interpretation of Na'aseh v'nishma to mean we will do, even if we don't understand, v'nishma, and we will try to understand, right? That's the way we're brought up, that the Jewish people, right? So first of all, it's important to notice they don't say that at the beginning. They don't say it in chapter 19 when God introduces that he's going to give them a covenant. They only say it after they've already heard the basics of the covenant and Parshat Mishpatim, which is a kind of expansion of the covenant. So that's number one. Number two, the truth is that if you look at the Parshanim, if you look at the commentaries, the phrase Na'aseh v'nishma doesn't really mean what that midrashic, beautiful midrashic tradition means in terms of pshat. In terms of pshat, the phrase na'aseh v'nishma, as the Ibn Ezra and others point out, na'aseh means we will do what you have commanded us already, v'nishma, and we are willing to listen to and hear and keep whatever you will continue to tell us in the future. That's the simple pshat of na'aseh v'nishma. We will do what you have already commanded us, v'nishma, we will continue to hear. And the word hear here, the word hear here, so to speak, H-E-A-R and H-E-R-E, I think it's spelled the same in Canadian English, those two words. So, yeah. So those words, v'nishma, is for the future, for the continuity of the Torah. And it's very similar to if you look back in chapter 18, 19, when God first introduced the covenant, God said, he said, etc., Ve'ata im shamoa tishmu b'koli, if you will hearken to my voice. So again, lishmoa in the context of the biblical, and especially in the context of this section of the Bible, Lishmoa doesn't mean simply to hear. It means to be willing to listen and follow. Shamoa tishmu b'koli. If you listen in my voice, if you hearken to my voice, a good translation. If you continue, ushmartem et briti, then vitem liskula mikol amim ki li kol ha'aretz. So this is the first point in terms of that the entirety of Parshat Mishpatim is part of this web, which starts with chapter 19, continues with chapter 20, which is the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 statements, continues into the details of Parshat Mishpatim, and continues into chapter 22, 23, with a lot of mitzvot, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, and then it closes with a covenant ceremony. So that's the first point I want to make. The second point I want to make is that there is also another structure, which is an internal structure that has been noted by a number of contemporary writers, including one of my great teachers, Rav Yoel Ben Nun. So let me see if I can pull up the structure. First of all, let me show it to you just in the text, and then let's go a step further. You'll notice that I mentioned that up until chapter 17 is the story of Shalach et ami, let my people go. From chapter 19 to chapter 40 is all about the Avduni, and the people should serve me in the desert. We have Matan Torah, the covenant ceremony, we have the covenant introduction of the notion that Jewish people are entering into a covenant with God, the content of the covenant, or at least the basic content of the covenant. Covenant ceremony, followed by the building, the commandment to build the Mishkan, the story of the sin of the golden calf, which almost derailed the covenant, and the Raproshma, the reconciliation between God and the Jewish people, and the actual building of the Mishkan, which closes, of course, with God's presence in the Mishkan, just like he was on the mountain. Just as God was on the mountain, the Bible ends, Vayichas Hanan et Ol Moed, וכבוד השם מלא את המשכן, ולא יכול משה לבוא למועד, כי שכן עליו הענן, וכבוד השם מלא את המשכן, the glory of God filled it, etc., etc. And that's how the book ends, with the glory of God on the Mishkan. So that's the book. What's interesting is, if you notice, I kind of left out chapter 18, because chapter 18 is very anomalous. Chapter 18 in last week's Parsha, which begins the story, right? It could have begun with chapter 19, could have begun. Because the Bible says, verse 2, Vayis'u merifidim, vayavo midbar Sinai. They left Refidim, they came to Midbar Sinai. Chapter 17, when the Jewish people fought Amalek and had the problem with the water, and they were in Refidim. Vayachanu berefidim, vein maim lishto ta'am, which is then followed by the story of Amalek. So the Bible would have been, there would have been absolutely no reason that we wouldn't have skipped to chapter 19. Vayisumer fidim, vayavo midbar Sinai, vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar, ki ish echad, v'lev echad, all those midrashim that we love and we know. But the Bible throws in chapter 18, which is one of the reasons why there's so much discussion about whether the Yitro story is actually in order or not. Because on some level, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. It doesn't talk about exactly the place they are, et cetera, et cetera. But what's interesting is that Yitro comes and Yitro introduces the notion of Shoftim, the notion of Shoftim. After Moses tells Yitro, you know, and that's one of the key words here. Moses tells Yitro that, you know, I work from morning to night. Vayeshem Moshe lishpot et ha'am. Vayachol ten Moshe kol asher osel ha'am. What are you doing? So he says, because the people come to me and they want my advice. V'shafatati ben ishu ben re'eu. I'm the judge and I teach them the laws. And Yitro, of course, tells him, you know, that's a disaster. Instead, set up a whole elaborate system. So he sets up the infrastructure and he listens to Yitro. V'shaftu ata'am b'chol eit. So you have the introduction of judges, followed in chapter 19, after you have a whole infrastructure, you now have the actual introduction to the covenant, which is going to be the content that these judges are going to have to judge and deal with. And the Bible says, Atem ri'item asher asiti l'mitzrayim. You saw what I did to Egypt, where I acted in a manner of miracles. Now, I'm no longer going to deal with miracles as much as I'm going to present a covenant to you. Notice the difference between ri'iyah and shmi'ah. Up until this point, atem ri'item. You saw what I did to Egypt. You saw the makot. You saw the plagues. You saw this. You saw that. Now you're going to hear God. God is no longer going to be so much visible. And you're going to keep my covenant. This is then followed by the preparations for the sin, for Matan Torah, for the giving of the Torah. Chapter 20, we get the Torah. Chapter 21, interestingly enough, begins once again, Ve'elah ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. So who's the lifnehem? Does it refer to the Jewish people? Or more likely, does it refer to the shoftim? The shoftim that were introduced in chapter 18 are now told the nitty gritty. The whole, all of the people were at the revelation of Sinai. All of the people received the basic laws. All of the people heard and experienced God's voice and the chavaya, the experience of God's overwhelming, but now, in terms of the nitty-gritty, ve'ela mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. These mishpatim are going to be put before who? Before the shoftim. And then we have the details, some of the details of the law. And it's interesting that right before this, if you look at the end of the book of, if you look at the end of Yitro, it's very similar to the way the book of the Parshat Yitro began. Parshat Yitro began with the phrase, Atem ri'item. Not Parshat Yitro, but chapter 19, the actual presentation of the covenant. And this also begins with the same phrase. If you look in chapter, this is chapter 20, right after the presentation of the Aseret HaDibrot, right after Lo Tachmod, etc. The people, the Chol Am Ro'im Etakolot V'Hapidim Et Kol HaShofar, and they're very frightened. And they say, Daber ata imanu v'nishma, v'ayidaber Hashem imanu. Don't be afraid. But then God says, Kol tomar al b'nei Yisrael, Atem ri'item ki min ha-shamayim dibarti imachem. You saw that I spoke to you from the heavens. It's a kind of parallel between the beginning of Parshat Yitro and the end of Parshat Yitro. It begins with Atem ri'item, and it ends with Atem ri'item. So this is kind of internal structure. From chapter 18 through chapter 20 and 21. And then we saw the outside structure that I started with. And let me again just show it to you in the terms of a sheet that I want to, let me present the sheet in front of you. Let me see if I can do that in terms of presenting it. One second. Let me just find it. Sorry. Excuse me. Do, 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 do. Okay. So I will present this sheet. So now let me just share my screen. So if you look at this Seder Umivneh.
So can I make it a little bigger? Can you expand it just to make it a little wider?
Let me see if I can do that. I don't know. I don't know if I can. I'm sorry, it went away. I don't know if I can. Let me just see.
We can do it by pinching our screen.
I'm sorry?
All we have to do is pinch the screen.
Let me see if I can make it a little bigger like this. Okay, a little bigger.
Yeah.
We can widen it ourselves.
Okay. So if you look, you see that it starts. The structure is Bikur Yitro. Yitro comes and is and blesses God. They eat a meal together, which is in this reading, potentially Seudat Abrit, a meal that reflects the fact that Yitro is coming to share with Moshe. Atzat Yitro, the actual suggestions, advice of Yitro, Minui Shoftim Ruyim, and the appointment of proper judges. Then, right after that, in chapter 19:20, we have Ma'amad Har Sinai, the experience of standing at the foot of Sinai, Aseret HaDibrot, the actual Dibrot, followed by the end of chapter 20, which has a little bit of mitzvot. And those mitzvot are introduced with the phrase, Atem Re'item, followed by Ve'ela HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lifnehem, the mishpatim, which are going to be played out by the shoftim. So this is parallel to this. Of course, in the middle, of course, is Matan Torah. And at the end, we have not just Yitro having a meal with Moshe, and not just Yitro having the Ola Uzvachim, but in chapter 24, the Jewish people as a whole enter into covenant. There's a covenant ceremony. There's Naaseh v'Nishma. There's Olot Uzvachim. There are Korbanot. And in that context, there is ultimately what that represents is a Seudat Brit. So in a certain sense, the structure begins with Yitro and his coming and his recognition of God's greatness and the introduction that there's going to be Shoftim. And if you have Shoftim, you need Mishpatim because you have the structure, then you have the content, and then you have, of course, the Chatima, the closure, which introduces us to the to this. Okay, now I want to go, that's number two. Number three, I want to now go into how the Bible begins presenting some of the details of the law, which is Parshat Mishpatim. And I want to do this in two ways. First, I want to focus on the very first section of Parshat Mishpatim, and then I want to focus just a little bit more structure of the whole thing. So if let's take again, if we take a look, if I share my screen, we are, of course, can't share that yet. So let's go back for a second. Let me find my thing again. Yeah, Exodus 21. So if we look at Parshat Mishpatim, we, of course, remember the Parshat Mishpatim, very, very strangely, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. These are the mishpatim that you should put before you. When you buy the Hebrew slave, 6 years he should work, and on the seventh year he should go free. And we have all kinds of details about how, if he wants to, how he should go out, if he wants to stay, he can do this, he can do that. And then we talk about what happens with the ama, with the maidservant, and how she goes out, and how she should be taken care of and not taken care of. So it's the most strange thing in the world, because right after that, the Bible starts and goes into capital punishment. Makei ish vameit, mot yumat. And if it wasn't premeditated, then you have to have a place to flee, what we call an ir hamiklat, a city of refuge. But if you do it on purpose, then you even take him away from the altar. And if you hit your father, so we have all these. Now, if you would have woken me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you would have asked me, where should Mishpatim begin? Where do you start a law code? I would have started the law code, not from this crazy, side discussion about Eved Ivri, about the Hebrew slave, and about, I would have started the details of the law
after the Aseret HaDibrot in chapter 20. I'm starting chapter 21. I would have started from the beginning. Or I would have started, if you want to focus on civil law and not everything, I would have focused on simply talking. It's a perfect beginning. Makei ish vameit mot yumat. Right? That would have been a perfect introduction. Makei ish vameit mot yumat. Anyone, it's a kind of absolute statement. A human life is invaluable. Human life has dignity and you're held responsible. What am I starting with this crazy thing about Eved Ivri? Some detail about how an Eved Ivri stays and how an Eved Ivri goes and how this one comes. It's a very strange thing. And in fact, if those who like to read Rabbi Hirsch, Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, Samson Raphael Hirsch on this passage makes the very fact that it makes no sense as an argument for the idea of Torah Shabbat Al Peh. Because he says the book as itself makes no sense. The way that the Bible presents the laws makes no sense. And it only makes sense if Torah Shebichsav is really like notes that were taken at a lecture. And because the lecture was all over the place, so he talked like this. But really, you can't understand the Torah without Torah Shebichsav. It's a wild argument, but it's very Hirschian, where he's fighting the reform. And he wants to show the Torah Shebaal Peh. You cannot understand Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebaal Peh. And the proof is the fact that it makes no sense, the order. So there's really three approaches. So that's one approach. But I think the simplest approach is one that is already implicit in a number of the medieval commentaries and has been developed at great length by others. And it's very simple. If you look carefully, it makes perfect sense. Why? When we're doing the expansion, if we take Mishpatim as an expansion, the tributaries of the Aseret HaDibrot. If, you know, Rav Sadia Gaon already noticed, you know, said that all the Tayag HaMitzvot, all the 613 Mitzvot, they emanate from the Aseret HaDibrot. If you look carefully in Parshat Mishpatim, if you see them all as derivative of the Aseret HaDibrot in some way, not necessarily in exact order, but you look at them in that way, then it makes perfect sense. Because if we go back to the Aseret HaDibrot, how does the Aseret HaDibrot begin? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beit Avadim. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And we start the details of the legal code of Am Yisrael with the laws of Eved Ivri. But what's striking, and this is what's so different than the cultures around, and I'm not getting into all the parallel stuff, but you look carefully, you'll see that there is a word that repeats itself in this little parsha over and over again. V'im yomar ha'eved, ahavti et avnet ishti v'et b'nai, lo etzei, v'gisho adam alanev, v'gisho adam, etc., etc. V'im chor ish et bito le'ama, lo teitzei, ketzei ta'avadim, etc., etc. Lo yimshol, im acher yikach lo, etc. V'im shol she'el yoseh la, v'yatz'ach hinam ein kasef. So if you look carefully, this parsha, instead of really being on a pshat level about the laws of Eved Ivri, it's really fundamentally about the laws of how the Eved Ivri leaves, how he's yotzei, anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher hotzei ticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. This was a radical earth-shaking move in history, The idea that slaves are not in perpetuity, the property of the masters, that the world does not operate that way, but there is every human being is free, and avadai heim below avadim la avadim, that they're ultimately servants of God and they're not servants to anybody else. So anokha shem lokach asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I'm the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. And so the first mitzvot, even though they may not have necessarily been the most logical, conceptually they're so powerful. They are derivative. The idea that, which was so radical in its time, that again, the Torah works in incrementalism, as Maimonides taught us. The Torah doesn't wave a hand and say, okay, we're going to get rid of slavery. It's impossible in that world. It's like, say, today, get rid of electricity or get rid of, you just can't do that. The Bible slowly wants to wean the world away from slavery, as so many have noted. And this is the beginning of the process. And it's interesting, all the laws here, the key word here, I don't know how many times it said it, was it 6 or 7? I remember. The key word was latzeit. The emphasis is on the ways that the Eved leaves, which is the essence of the first Dibra. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, that I took you out of Egypt, that I acted in history and made a statement that human beings should not be subservient to other human beings and that might doesn't make right and all these things. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha is played out in the details of the laws of Eved Ivri and the laws of the Ama Ivriya. Now, of course, if the Eved wants to stay, okay, what are you going to do? The Bible has not eradicated that. Even though in terms of Chazal, Va'avado le'olam, so Chazal interpret, of course, that even le'olam is not le'olam, it's not forever, but le'olam means until the Yovel, until the Jubilee year, when everybody is set free and we have a reset in society to go back to the beginning of everything. Okay, that's one approach. So you have Hirsch, who says it makes no sense. It's totally jump. And the only way you make sense of it is because there's a Torah Shebaal Peh, and it proves that, because otherwise, why would you start your codex with this, you know, detail about Eved Ivri? But I think the simple reading is you would start it because it is derivative of the essence of the first Dibra. Derivative of the essence of the first Dibra, which is, of course, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And then it makes beautiful sense. What's the next, after we finish discussing the Eved, what is the next series of laws? Makei Ish Vameit, Mot Yumat, which is the beginning of the second part of the Dibrot, Lo Tirtzach. Makei Ish Vameit, Mot Yumat is basically an expansion of Lo Tirtzach. Okay, that's a second point. The third approach was developed by Rav Mordechai Breuer. Rav Mordechai Breuer, he took a different approach where he actually said something which is very, very interesting. And it fits in especially with an interesting commentary. The simple pshat here, when the Bible says in verse 20, in chapter 21, when you buy the Eved Ivri, 6 years he works, and on the seventh he goes free. The simple reading, which is the way that Chazal and most of the Parshanim took it, was if I buy the Eved in 2022, so then in 2029 he goes out. That's the simple reading. What's interesting is that the Bechor Shor, Yosef Bechor Shor, one of the medieval commentaries from France, a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, he was a student of Rabbeinu Tam, the great Rav Yaakov Tam, he says the Shvi'it year should be translated as the sabbatical year. It's a very radical reading. It's not the seventh year, but the sabbatical year. It's a very, very new reading that is not accepted, certainly, in the halachic tradition. Now, Rav Breuer, again, it's not necessarily tied to that, but it certainly works in better with that reading. If you look at the end of chapter 20, after the Aseret HaDibrot, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, Lo ta'aseh, lo yelecha Elohim acharim al panai, Lo ta'aseh lecha pesel v'chol tumah, right? This is the first two Dibrot. Dibra number one, I am the Lord your God. Dibra number two, don't make graven images and don't bow to them. Dibra number three, Lo tisa et shem Hashem al-kacha, don't take God's name in vain. Dibra number four, Shabbat. Dibra number five, Kaved et avicha ve'et imecha. And then we have what we basically call the Bein Adam l'chaveiro, Lo tirtzach, Lo tin'af, Lo tignov, Lo taneh b'recha ad shaker, Lo tachmod b'recha. Okay? So this is the foundational principles of Judaism, what we call the 10 Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 statements, mislabeled as 10 commandments, because there's actually 12 or 13 commandments, but that's the way it is. What's interesting is what happens right after that. The Bible says, the people were afraid. And Moshe says, don't be afraid. And at this point, God is just testing you, but the people, this would have been the perfect place to begin Parshat Mishpatim. Moses alone went into the thickness to talk to God, and God said, Ve'ela Mishpatim. But before Parshat Mishpatim begins, there's this little appendix at the end of Parshat Yitro. Ve'yom Hashem el Moshe komar tomar lusin, atem ritem kivin Hashemai dibarti machem. Lo tasu nitin Elohei chesef Elohei zahav lo tasu lachem. Mizbeach adama taseh li v'zavach tala v'tolotecha v'tshlamecha. V'chol makom asher mazkir et shmi avoy lecha v'birachticha. V'mizbach ha'evanim taseh li lo tivneh tem gozit, ki kar b'chayin haftaleh v'tchaleh v'lo taleh b'malot ha'mizbechi. So, this is very striking. Why do we have this little section at the end of chapter 20? So Rav Breuer basically said that the Bible here, once God was not going to directly communicate with the people anymore, so God basically talks to Moshe and begins telling him how you should now present the rest of the Torah. And what he does is he starts from a kind of expansion, repetition, massaging of the Dibrot, the first Dibrot, which are the foundational Dibrot. Because look at the Dibrot. What does it say in the beginning of the Dibrot? I am the Lord your God. How does it begin, Moses, right after the Aseret HaDibrot? I am speaking to you. Which, of course, is basically a rehash of Lo ta'aseh lecha pesah v'chol tmunah asher b'shamayim. Except that here it has more details. It has details of, gives examples. Elohei chesed Elohei zahav. Probably because that's what they took out of Egypt. If you remember, they took out of Egypt a gold and silver. And so it's very concrete. And then it talks about Mizbeach Adama. This is what you're not supposed to do. This is the way that you're not supposed to worship God. Instead, this is the proper way to worship God. Mizbeach Adama taseli v'zavachta alecha tolotecha v'tushamecha. You should make an altar of earth. And b'chol ha'makom asher azkirat shmi avoy lecha b'ticha. Every place where I cause my name to be mentioned, I will come unto thee and bless thee. Which of course means that God is saying that there are places where it's appropriate to mention his name. For example, when you offer korbanot, implying there are places where it's inappropriate to mention his name. And of course, that's a playoff of the third dibra. Lo tisa et shem lekecha lashav, ki lo yinake Hashem et asher yisa shemo lashav. To mention God's name in vain is inappropriate, but there are appropriate ways. Any place that God has sanctified and he reveals himself, where I mention my name, so Rav Breuer says, oh, if the mitzvot right after the people were afraid, so we have one, atem ritem, which corresponds to anochi. We have lo tasuni ti Elohei chesed Elohei zahav, which corresponds to lo yelecha Elohim achrim al panai, lo taseh lecha pesah v'chol tmunah. You have this discussion about the proper way to serve God. One of the proper ways is to make a humble mizbeach. And it's in that place where I will cause my name to be mentioned, as opposed to places where saying the name of God inappropriately is inappropriate. What's the next dibra? The next dibra, of course, is Shabbat. Zechort yom shabbat kadsho. Keshim mitavu osim wachtecha. Yom shi shabbat la'ashem elokecha. Etc., etc. So suggested Rav Breuer, this is exactly how Parshat Mishpatim begins. Parshat Mishpatim is a continuation on some level of the Aseret HaDibrot. This is derivative of the principle of Shabbat. The idea that 6 days you work, and on the 6 years he works, and on the seventh is basically a kind of derivative of Shabbat. Just like Shemitah. We all know that we're in the sabbatical year this year. The Bible consciously makes an effort to parallel it to the Shabbat that we experience every week. If you remember the book of in Vayikra, the Bible repeats the idea that the Shemitah year is Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbaton, Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat. So too, Rav Breuer claimed, this is an expansion. Now, it connects, of course, to the fact that they were slaves just now. And so the experience of the slave is most relevant to them. But it's in the context of the Aseret HaDibrot. And then it makes perfect sense. Right after you finish discussing the laws of Eved Ivri and the laws of the Hebrew slave and the women and the woman slave, you get to the next Dibrot, Makei Ishvamet, Motumat, which is, of course, derivative of Lo Tirtzach. Now you'll say, what happened to Kaveda Tavicha Vetimecha? So that shows up, Umakei Aviv Imo Motumat, which, of course, is a derivative of the opposite of what it means to be kabeda tavicha vetimecha, mekalel aviv imo. And then, of course, we get into the laws of nezek, the laws of damages. People fight, they hurt each other, they kill each other. Is it considered manslaughter? Is it considered? And then you get to the laws of hurting an eved. And then you get to the laws of damages when you hurt a slave. And then you get into the laws of property damage, which is, of course, all derivative of the laws of stealing and lo tignov, etc., etc. And so, on some level, this entire structure of the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim is a playoff of those Aseret Hadibrot. Okay, so that's another way to do it. The final thing I'd like to speak about tonight is, there's so much more, but the final thing I'd like to speak about tonight is just to make the point, when we move from the world of the Aseret HaDibrot to the world of Mishpatim, we also, at first, we move from the world of, for all the lawyers, they know this term, from casuistic law to apodictic law. We go from apodictic law to casuistic law. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, if you look, Aseret HaDibrot, interestingly enough, are absolute in their terms. There's no case law. It says, I am the Lord your God. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Absolute. Do this. Do that. Kabeir tavichem et imecha. Lo tirtzach. Lo tinaf. Lo tignov. Notice there's no discussion of what does it mean to murder? What does it mean to kill? What is manslaughter? What's first degree? What's second degree? What's third degree? When is something considered stealing? When is something not considered stealing? There's no case law. The Bible presents absolute principles. Apodictic law. For all times, all places, God has commanded an absolute principle. Lo tirtzach. Don't get into details now. The first thing is the absolute. On the other hand, when we get into the world of Mishpatim, the first half of Mishpatim, here we're working in the world of case law. If this and this happens, then this and this happens. Notice that in the Bible, certainly in the second half of the Aseret HaDibrot, there's no punishments. It doesn't say, lo tirtzach, don't murder. And if you murder, you're going to get killed, and you're going to get killed this way, and you're going to get killed. No. It has nothing to do with the punishment. It's an absolute moral law that God has laid down, that that's the way the world should work. Lo tirtzach, lo tignov, lo tinaf, lo... This is not the world, irrelevant of the punishment or not the punishment. It's a world that should have these absolute moral principles that are unchanging, etc., and not case-based. On the other hand, when we get... And now we come back to this. And I don't know if I can tonight turn it. Sorry. Let me just see this. This is too big. But if you turn your computer, I'm going to share something with you. And I'm sorry that it got, I'm sure there's a way to do it but I'm not necessarily so capable of it. I'm going to share my screen. This is from a choveret. This is from a booklet. So I guess if you turn your computer screen, you can see it. I just turned my computer screen. So I don't know if that affects your computer screen or not. But you'll notice that everything is presented in with the v'chi. Ki tikne, when you buy an Eved Ivri. V'chi yimkor ish et bito la'ama. When you do this. And if in this and this happens. Makei ish v'meit mot yumat. But if you didn't intend to do this, V'chi azid ish al re'ehu, they should have made that also in bold. V'chi azid ish et re'ehu, if you had intention, then this and this happens. V'chi yirivun anashim v'ika ish et re'ehu. V'chi yikach ish et avdo, etc., etc. V'chi yikach shor ish et shor et isha, v'meit. V'chi yifta, okay? All the cases are presented in the context of causalistic law. Or in the words in Hebrew, we call this ha-mishpat ha-mutneh, the conditional law, because it's all case law based on that. So we've moved from the absolute to the details. And one of the ways we do that is by going to case law. Finally, in this context, I just want to point out, again, part of the structure of Parshat Mishpatim. Now, chapter 20, by the end of a certain section, the Bible, you know, will go and do a mishmash of things, but that's, you know, I need a whole nother shiur to explain that. But the final thing I want to talk about, let me just get my chumash. Sorry. Do this. Where's this? Yeah. So finally, if we look at, you'll notice the structure. Once the Bible moves away from the Eved Ivri and we start to get into the, we go from what might be called min hakal, min hakaved el hakal, from the most serious in terms of structure to the least serious. So it starts with the capital punishment cases when you kill someone. Makei ish vameit mot yumat. With the detail, if you didn't intend, it was an accident, there has to be. But if you intended, you get killed. Makei aviv vameit, mot yumat. Even if he didn't die. Here it's makei ish vameit. You kill someone, you die. If you harm your parents, you smite your parents, even if they didn't die, you get killed. V'gonev ishu mecharov nimtza biyado mot yumat. U'mikalel aviv imo mot yumat. Now you'll ask me, why don't we put the Mikalel together with the Makay? Why don't you have all the parents, the laws of the parents? Probably the Bible is moving from action, Makay, Makay, Gonave. So these are all physical actions to speech. U'mikalel, avivimo, mot yumat. But these, of course, are all situations which are absolute and clear, and we move in this context. We now move to the second stage, which is one degree lower. The chirivun anashim, people were fighting, and they hit each other. V'lo yamut, v'nafal mishkav, im yakum, v'italech b'chutz, al mishanto v'nikam makeh, rak shifto yitein v'rapo yirapen. So if he walks around, and he dies 2 weeks later, that's not your response. It's not direct cause. So you have to pay. You have to pay the doctor bills. You have to pay the fact that he misses his job. But this is already one step lower. The same thing when you hit your slave, which again is one step lower in terms of the societal thing. Then you get to the case when you're fighting and you hit an embryo. If she doesn't die, you get punished. You have to pay the worth of the fetus. But if, of course, if it does come, then you do fine. We talk about damages. Ayin tachat ayin, shein tachat shein, whatever that means. But there is damages. Then we talk about the damages to a slave, and he goes out free. Then we talk about if your property kills another person, sakol yisakel hashor, lo yachel, you kill the shore. And if the shore was responsible, and it was a shore that was habitual, then you were responsible, you were negligent, you have responsibility, and you should have been put to death also, but there's a ransom that you can achieve that you don't have to get killed. We then move to if a person causes damage through his property. And then if a shore hits another shore, et cetera, et cetera. And then we talk about stealing, et cetera. So the Bible is working from in the principle of min ha-kaved el ha-kal, from the most serious situations to the least. And again, the more you look carefully at the structure of the laws here, you'll see that it's organized in a certain way. There's associative principles that are connecting one thing to another. And there, of course, there's ideas here. There's a lot more to say, but with this, we'll close. I want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Again, should be Le'ilui Nishmato. And I want to thank Jay again, and I hope people enjoyed a little different kind of parsha. It's not a narrative parsha, but it's certainly a parsha that has a lot to commend itself to. And we only talked about a little bit. There's a lot more that can be said on many of the prakim here.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rav Nani. Okay, always interesting, and Parsha Mishpatim, yeah, figuring out the structure, which law goes where. It's you know, but of course, I mean, somebody just pointed out in the comments that you know, to start with hitting wouldn't work well for Moshe because that's how we first met Moshe. It's just an interesting comment, but yeah, okay, that's thank you. By the way, where's the Mordechai Breuer thing?
It's printed in one of his very early essays, but it might even be on the.
Because I have a few of his sparring back here, but
It was printed as an example about. It's called Pshat, Pshat Udrash or something. Sakanot v'Sikuyim or something like that. So he discusses that. It's in one of his programmatic essays. He talks about it.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, tomorrow my shiur on the Seder, 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Everybody's invited. We're finishing up getting to Pesukei Dezimra soon, please God. And then Sunday morning at 11 theme, Rabbi Liebtag, who touched upon a little bit towards the end what you said, the V'chi Mufneh, going how you read a Sefer. It's always good. It's very different, but I'm saying I always like when you have two different speakers speak on the same topic, and then you hear the different perspectives, even though what the same different. And that's Rabbi Liebtag, of course, 11:15 on Sunday. Monday, continuing our series, Lindsay Guhart's on Islam for Jews. And then Mark Shapiro is back after a few week hiatus, starting a new series on the rise of Reform Judaism, the rabbinic response. And then Tuesday, Alex Israel. And then our last series on Halakha. And Wednesday, Rabbi Kowalski is finishing his series on Sefer Shmot. And then Dr. Sokolow on the Tanakh putting together. And then next Thursday, back Malka Simkowitz, part two from her series that she just started this morning in Shuli Mishkan. And then next Thursday night, Rabbi Shlomo Gumara from here in Toronto will be the vice principal at CHAT will be giving the Parsha Shir next Thursday night. And then back Friday morning is the sitter. So that keeps you busy for the week. Please invite a friend. Please, Natty, you're welcome to. Welcome to let people in your shul know about it. You're a busy guy.
I see some of my balabatim on the
schedule. Okay, it's always good. That's what we always like to have. But the Baruch Hashem got people from all over the place. And that's what I tell everybody. The admission to the classes, they're free, but the admission is invite a friend. And of course, and we want to thank the Almonds again for their ongoing support. And thank you very much. Okay, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Wonderful share. Thank you. And by the way, I think this coming week, Alex Israel is off.
Oh, you are correct. Thank you for reminding me. February 1st. Thank you for that. That's correct. Alex Israel is off this 1 week. He'll make it up for the other 10-week part. Very good. Thank you. We forgot about that. It's great to have people who keep me on my toes and know more than I do sometimes about all the classes that are going on. Okay. So we'll have to learn extra. I have to do more. So hope to see you soon and have a good night.
Shabbat shalom. Everybody. Thank you. Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.